Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and alongside me today in the studio is our reporter, John Dustin.
Jonathan, great to be here again today.
John, it's always a pleasure to be here with you and to listen to exciting stories of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I love hearing all the stories and getting some advice.
Always good to know, as you're an entrepreneur yourself. So our next guest up is Sandeep Akaraju. Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And you are what they call a serial entrepreneur.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You've had a number of experiences starting companies. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Sure. My background is I'm a physicist and an engineer. So this is my fourth startup that I'm on. The first one was in telecom. The second one was in software. The next one in consumer devices, all of the motion sensing that's going onto your wrists and watches and cell phones today. And the latest company is in medical devices, and we're working on the stethoscope for the future. So something that'll be able to see inside your body, not just listen to sounds inside your body.
It seems like you're creeping more into industries that are more difficult to get the products approved as I'm listening to you.
in a way. But I think, I like old stodgy markets because there's great room for innovating at exciting new price points. I mean, you know, we're taking on $250,000 worth of equipment, and we're going to completely demonetize it. That's the idea. And we did that in the last company when we started off. I mean, a lot of these motion sensors were $100,000 to $200,000 piece of equipment going into missiles and defense industries. And at the end of the day, it's a dollar, it's on your wrist.
Fascinating. So you consider yourself to be an industry disruptor? Is that one of the goals, or is that the industries that you look at, or how do you go through the process of making the determination of where you're going next?
I think this one was easy, because once we realized that 75% of the world has no access to medical imaging, it became clear that...
So population-wise, 75% of the population...
75% of the world does not have any
access. So 4 billion plus people, or whatever that number is.
And that's the cost of the capital, the equipment, or moving it, a location?
It's multiple things. It's clearly there's cost of capital and cost of equipment involved, but there's also lack of expertise in using this equipment. And there's lack of personnel in the field who can deploy imaging. So we're looking at it holistically and saying, how do I allow a midwife or a doctor to be able to look inside the body?
But potentially limited skills on the utilization front.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I would assume there's some sort of telemedicine, or whatever you call it today, component potentially.
And machine learning and deep learning and automated diagnostics and all of that to follow. So, that's...
Do you have a team that identifies this, or is it you as an individual?
Well, I think it takes a...
Multidisciplinary.
Clearly. Yeah, absolutely. Because, any of these enterprises takes about a year and a half to just do a feasibility study to say, okay, I'm going to dedicate the next 5, 10, 15 years of my life on a project like this. Because that's what it takes, to develop some of these products. And you better get the groundwork right. Otherwise, the most precious thing we have in our lives, right, is time. So you don't want to lose out on that, chasing something that's going to be a red herring. So
now, has your you talked about three prior entrepreneurial venture startups, essentially. Mm-hmm. Sounds like one at least, or two, were somewhat industry disruptors. Is it the same team that has moved from one to the next, or the core?
There is a core of people who are involved in this, and I think that's the beauty of it, is working with people you know and love to work with and know their quirks, and people you can have an argument with and still go out, get a few beers, right?
And you probably have IP attorneys.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a extended part of that team, right? I mean, the company is one part, but there's an entire support structure that goes around to make a company. Hmm. So, and I think we're lucky to have, great support infrastructure in the Boston area to make it happen.
So without digging too deeply into the product, because I know that you're in the development phase now, is it the team is comprised of engineers and medical professionals and hardware people and software people?
That's
and
right.
All of the, yeah. Really the full gamut of skill sets, engineers. And,
yeah.
And is the team is this a primary focus of the team? Is the entity exists and some of them are employees, some are the consultants, et cetera?
Absolutely. So we're focused on delivering low cost medical imaging. So a 3D imager in your pocket at $1,000.
And this would be something that would have to go through clinical trials and FDA approvals, or
it'll have to go through FDA.
And so that's a long and costly process in and of itself. And
it's a process. I mean, I think like anything else, you plan for it, and you have to plan for success on that, right? I mean, I think that's and laying that groundwork early is important.
And when do you start approaching funding? Do you try to go public, or will you try to keep it privatized, or have you gotten that far?
They have a plan. I know he's got a plan.
we've got a key set of investors backing this.
Okay.
They've been, this was bootstrapped for the first couple of years, and now we've got a solid set of investors who are motivated not just by the financial rewards, but also want to help
product.
The world. Because this is one of those things that's about that's near and dear to everyone, right?
It's a game changer, potentially.
Absolutely. So,
Just give sort of a lesson for entrepreneurs, and you talk about a potential 10 to 15 year horizon and looking at that. Can you scope out sort of you talked a couple of years to or at least a year for a feasibility study, and then you have probably some prototyping that goes on, and then you have funding and all that. Can you give sort of a timeline view of without getting into specifics of your product, but how entrepreneurs ought to approach things, or engineers,
I mean, I can't. I mean, again, I mean, I think you start off with a grain of skepticism, right, to see if this can be done, because you're the easiest person to fool, okay? Once, and you've got to make sure that you don't fool yourself, because you're in it for the long haul, and it's kind of measure twice or measure four times over. I mean, to make sure that the idea it has a reasonable chance of success, and you have the skill sets to pull it off, and you can assemble a team. And I think one of the things that's key to any project like this is the team, right? I mean, if you don't have people who believe that this can happen, okay, it's not going to happen. I mean, because on a project with this kind of a scope, it's easy to say, gee, that's not going to work, because everything starts off as a precious little idea. And it's like a baby. You've got to nurture it, and you've got to give it room to grow. And that takes a year to see if you've just like having a child, right? I mean, from conception to just even emergence into the world, to see if you're going to attempt to do this is a process.
And in this particular process, I'm sure plenty of detractors along the way. People that you tell, oh, that'll. There's no need for that, or there's no, and so you need to validate yourself, and you need to believe in your concept and your idea.
Absolutely, and I think you have to, you have to talk to a lot of people. You have to understand. I mean, I think it's kind of a Socratic process, right? I mean, asking why, over and over again, and people say this market is immune to change, and you keep asking the question why. Until you say, okay, I understand why people say this is not going to change, okay, because, I mean, clearly, and if you think there's a way you can change it, then you attempt it.
It's funny, in my career, I tend to deal with small and medium businesses, and I've seen a few instances where we've been involved in larger scale stuff where a product goes to beta and there's investments of significant dollars, but just what you said, they get it to beta and they say, you know what, just pull the investment, it's not going to work. So it's a whole process where they're saying, will it, won't it, why? And at the end, it's amazing to me when you see that.
Yeah. And I think that's the single most important question. I mean, in everything that I do is why. I mean, you know, it's and it's not just one why, right? It's a series of whys that you need to ask.
And hope that your team is asking the questions as well. You know, that's
absolutely. That's what creates it. I mean, you know.
Well, it's fascinating. I know that that we can't share a lot of the information around the product itself, but certainly the processes. And is there any educational institution component to this? Are you involved with any area? You know, Boston is a wealth of talent.
Innovation.
And are you involved with anything that you want to mention there? Or
we managed to get our hands on some really good talent. I mean, you know, we're thankful for that.
Are you finding, and we talked a little bit about this before we came on air, you've been doing this 20 plus years and innovating in new endeavors and innovation. Are you finding that in today's marketplace, have you run up against the shift in talent or the lack of talent, or is this marketplace one that, you know, there's always available resources? Have you noticed the change in 20 years, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
Well, I think like anything else, there's a distribution of talent. Yeah, there's, for instance, if you were to try and hire somebody in people doing machine learning, for instance, okay, there's a dearth of talent because it's new, and it's that the skill set is not evenly distributed. Okay, but if you're kind of talking about some other aspect, there's, and at to a certain degree, it's not about talent is important, experience is important, but it's kind of what's really important is the thirst for experience. Okay, you've got to find people who are thirsty to get more experience and
proverbial roll up their sleeves and dig in and
absolutely
mistakes and learn from them. And
so I think that's the most important thing in terms of because I mean anything that we do is. To a certain degree, I mean, it's all new. We're not going to find people who've done this before. Okay,
interesting.
So it's kind of, and that's the challenge. It's not. I mean, yeah, there are parts of it that are kind of routine kind of work, but there's big chunks of it that have not been attempted. So.
And I guess the interesting aspect too, over the last 20 years, you talk about even distribution of talent, the global. Sort of barriers are down, so the talent that you might look for could be halfway around the globe today.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, on this particular project, you know, we needed a lot of very specific mathematical modeling talent in certain areas, and we found a bunch of talent in Eastern Europe. I mean, you know, a lot of these folks were working on things like radar and sonar in the Eastern Bloc with deep mathematical background. So we ended up having collaborators around the world on this. I mean, on the manufacturing infrastructure, I mean, we're dealing with people in Japan who have very specific domain expertise. So I think I think that's been the beauty of and a more open world in the last 20 years. I mean, that's been a key change. I mean, talent's everywhere.
Fascinating. Well, we'd love to have you come back and share as the progression goes along in terms of your development and launch. It sounds really exciting. It sounds like you're, not to overuse the phrase cutting edge, but clearly on the cutting edge of medical diagnostics and as we go off in beyond the mid 20th century, 21st century, it sounds like you said, you know, some science fiction type things.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm amazed at the rate of change of growth. I mean, because it's, you know, your mind thinks in a linear fashion, and the technology, goes very non-linearly. So it's hard to predict where the next innovation and the next addition to what you're doing is going to come from. So I think that's the
So fascinating stuff. Our guest of Radio Entrepreneurs has been Sandeep Akkaraju. And if people wanted to get in touch with you or wanted to learn more about what you're doing and had some skills that they thought they might be able to share with you perhaps or interested in learning more, is there a way that they can get in touch with you? Or are you open to hearing from people? Or?
Absolutely. You can find me on the usual suspects of social media, I guess.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure. We'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you.
Well, pleasure. Thanks for having me.